The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome to your mailbag, your news bag. A lot of news here. Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, James Robinson, Dawson Knox, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and the most under-rostered player in fantasy football is Jamie, Chris. Any guesses?
I know since you said it on FFT earlier today, so it's Jeff Wilson.
Oh, you weren't even going to let Chris guess. I mean, No respect for the game.
Well, what is he at? Like 30%?
18%.
Yeah, that's under rostered, I guess.
You shouldn't have asked me.
I did think about that. I knew that. Yeah, you're right. It's really, that's on me. Emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. If you are sending it to CBS EYE, that's not the right email address. It's the letter I, cbsi.com. You can put fantasy cops in the subject line or something football related. And
should we switch over to our new emails?
No, I'm good with that.
All right.
I'm good with it. Yeah.
That's fair.
And did that one get a new email address? Did that?
I think every single email. Okay. We have like six email addresses now.
Yeah. Very corporate over here. So anyway, let's get started. Let's talk about the news and notes. Chris, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, game time decisions. Dun, dun, dun. What should we do if we are relying on the Cardinals passing game?
You know, at this point, like there was a quote from Cliff Kingsbury where he said, if Kyler can, you know, play in the pocket and keep himself safe, he'll play. What that tells me is that they're not expecting Kyler Murray to do much running. And he hasn't really done much running lately. And he hasn't really been an elite fantasy quarterback as a result of that. I have him like eighth at quarterback for this week. But my expectations are certainly lower than they would be even if he does play. So, not necessarily a slam dunk must start, I think.
And unfortunately, Jamie, we can't turn to Taysom Hill because Trevor Siemian is starting. So who are some of the waiver wire quarterbacks now that are appealing to you if you need to replace Kyler Murray or something like that?
Yeah, I have Kyler in several leagues. Couple of them I'm attempting to because he's still on waivers, but people drop Kirk Cousins, so I'll pivot to Cousins. But Tyrod Taylor is the first person I would look at if you don't have a quarterback. I actually have Taylor, you know, after adjusting rankings following this news, I have Taylor ranked ahead of Murray as it is. So I just think, you know, you're looking at a guy that has gotten off to a good start this season, the game and a half that he played. But the most important thing is he's facing the Dolphins. So see if Tua's out there. See if Derek Carr is out there. See if Kirk Cousins is out there. I would have said to start Carson Wentz over Kyler, just knowing the uncertainty yesterday. We said that on FFT on HQ. And I think, you know, you just got to prepare at this point for Kyler Murray not playing. The emergency situations would be one, Trevor Siemian, two, Colt McCoy. You know, so those two guys could get you by in a pinch. But I hope you can find somebody better.
Okay. Yeah. And that is, of course, a 4:25 p.m. Eastern game. So also, it seems like all the game time decisions are at 4 o'clock these days.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably universally available too. You know, so if you just want to, you know, play it out to see what happens with the game.
Yeah, he's 24% rostered as well.
And maybe Justin Fields in some leagues too on Monday night. Or Roethlisberger, I guess. If you were going to choose one of those scrubs, fantasy scrubs, who would you go with?
Fields or Fields? Rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would go with Fields.
Okay, next news item. Christian McCaffrey may play, but if he does, he'll be on a snap count. So where are you guys going to end up with McCaffrey in your rankings if he's active? Jamie?
Probably somewhere between 15 and 20. You know, it's actually not a bad week for running backs. You know, when you talk about Devontae Booker and his situation, Miles Gaskin's in a positive situation. You know, I started him ahead of Boston Scott. I started him ahead of, you know, the Bears guys, depending on who starts there. he's not going to be ahead of, he's not going to be a top 10 guy for me, you know? So, if I have Christian McCaffrey, it's very hard to sit him clearly, but I think he's got to reel in expectations.
And Saquon Barkley is, I don't know if he's officially ruled out, but he's not going to play. It's Friday afternoon, by the way, for those of you listening on Saturday, it's Friday afternoon right now. Kenny Golladay, I just read that he's probably going to play. So I was surprised to see that. I don't even think he's 60% rostered. Is he the best Giants
receiver? He's one of the most underrated or under-rostered players right now, for sure.
Man, move over, Jeff Wilson. So would you guys rather start Golladay or Tony? And Golladay is 55% rostered.
Tony for me, just based on health. I don't want to trust Golladay until I see it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Tony is expected to play with that thumb injury, right?
Yes.
He's been limited all week. Yeah. Thumbs up. I'd probably go with Tony, but I don't think either of them's a top 36 receiver for me.
Sammy Watkins has a chance to play. I'm pretty interested to see what that passing game looks like, with all three of their top receivers healthy. Sam Darnold, questionable. Cole Beasley, questionable. Dawson Knox out. What's the latest on James Robinson?
So he was seen catching passes during practice. I don't know what his practice status is, but my guess is they'll probably list him as questionable, if not doubtful. I would expect him not to play this week. You know, I actually kind of hope he doesn't play, because the last thing you want to see is him re-aggravate this injury and make it further. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a bad game against Buffalo. Like, if he was playing, you're still starting him, but I don't want to see him get hurt and miss several weeks. Like, let him miss the Bills game. We've been planning for this. You know, he got hurt in the game last week, so you've kind of had this expectation of him not being out there. So I'd rather have him for the long haul than short term.
One thing I will add, going back to one note that you said, Adam, Rashad Bateman didn't practice today.
Yeah, Harbaugh said it's nothing serious.
Said there's nothing serious, and he expects him to play. But, you know, worth noting with Sammy Watkins looking like he's coming back.
Devontae Parker, meanwhile, is listed as doubtful. He is not going to play against Houston. So with that and the Tua kind of hand injury, he's going to play. But this is obviously one of the top waiver wire priorities at quarterback, Chris. Are we still confident in Tua Tagovailoa against Houston?
Yeah. He had a couple of good games without Devontae Parker when he came back from his injury. So I don't think that's necessarily something to be too concerned about. Obviously, you'd like it more if Devontae Parker was playing, but Mike Gesicki has stepped up really well when Devontae Parker's been out. Jalen Waddle is still a solid option. I think Tua Tagovailoa is still a top 12 quarterback for me.
Okay, I guess just to throw out a name for super deep leagues, like I have my Scott Fishbowl. I have just such bad wide receivers. I mean, is Mac Hollins the guy to look at? Didn't he have a good game in London when Parker was out?
He did. He had a touchdown against the Falcons through the following week.
Right.
Preston Williams, though, we know was a healthy scratch last week, and he's kind of owning up to his mistakes, I guess. I saw him talking to the media saying, you know, it's on me, whatever, for whatever that's worth, whatever the issue is that's going on with him and Brian Flores. So maybe he's the guy, but I'm with you, Adam. I look at Mac Hollins first, but you got to be really desperate.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. A.J. Brown was not seen at the open portion of practice on Friday. I don't know what that's all about. Hope he did. Chipotle again? Come on, you said you weren't going to have any more fast food, A.J. Brown. Julio Jones is going to play. Jamie, Julio Jones is going to fight.
Yeah. Sweep the leg.
Yes.
We'll see how he does. He's a number three receiver. You know, it's still difficult to trust him, and this defense is not good. Not a good matchup, excuse me. There's always the risk of re-aggravation. So desperation play, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I would expect something like what we saw 2 weeks ago, where I think he had like four targets and played like 50% of the snaps. I think we're still like, I want him to show it to me first before I trust him. I think there's still potential for him to be a must-start player, but I need him to show it to me first.
That's Julio Jones we're talking about. Chris, by the way, definitely likes Cobra Kai better than Karate Kid.
I have not watched Cobra Kai.
Have you ever seen?
Actually, it's been like a long time since I've seen Karate Kid. I don't really have any like positive memories of it one way or the other.
It's really good. You'll like it.
Cobra Kai is awesome.
I'm sure it is.
You're sure it's not.
There's a lot of television out there.
It's so bad, bro. It's the one of the cheesiest shows that I've ever seen.
Jesus, not bad.
I was putting on a Netflix movie for my kids last night, and just scrolling through the menu, Cobra Kai popped up, and my 9-year-old was like, "Can we watch that?" I was like, "No, not yet."
Karate Kid, though, I think he could watch. I started watching Squid Game. You guys watch that?
I haven't watched that one yet.
Not yet, no.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's good.
I'm hooked. Well, it hooked me.
You'll probably hate it.
I don't think so. Yeah, I probably will.
I mean, you hated. I didn't hate it. You did. What was the movie called?
Yeah, it was something with a P. Parasite, right?
Parasite. You hated.
I did not hate Parasite. I just thought it was very average. Very average movie. I didn't hate it. Okay.
Bad takes all around.
So, Jamie, you said something on HQ that the Titans offensive coordinator said that they're going to kind of keep their running style.
Yeah, Todd Downing said he said something like, I'll be doing the offense a disservice if we change things from losing Derrick Henry. So I'm going to guess, they try to force Peterson or McNichols into the 27 carries that are being vacated by Derrick Henry. But just by nature, they're going to be different. You know, none of these guys are Derrick Henry. Combined, they're not Derrick Henry at this point in Peterson's career. So the fact that Julio Jones is back, I think they put more on Ryan Tannehill's plate. And obviously, the expectation is they're going to be chasing points because the Rams offense is so good and their defense is still struggling. So I hope we get to see more of Tannehill, more of A.J. Brown, more of Julio Jones, less of the 36-year-old running back and less of Jeremy McNichols.
Yeah, it just... From a purely aesthetic standpoint, obviously, I want to not see them run Adrian Peterson into the line 25 times, but also just I don't think it would be smart, and I have to assume that the people running the Tennessee Titans are smart. You know, I don't doubt that they'll run more than your average team in any given situation, but I can't believe that they're going to run more than they pass just to name one factor.
And if Peters, either one of those guys has a good game. Trade them immediately. Trade them immediately because somebody will. Certainly, it was Peterson.
Yeah,
somebody
yeah.
will the
best,
be buying.
The best time to trade Adrian Peterson is right now.
Agreed.
Unless he has a good game this week, and then you trade him.
I don't know who pointed it out. I forget. I think it was Heath on Tuesday night. But the first game of the season for Peterson, each of the last 3 years, has been pretty good. It's been week one, week two, and week one. It's unfortunate he's starting with the Rams and the Saints, but. You could understand he gets off to a good start and can't really keep it going the rest of the season. Last thing on the Titans, though, is going into this week, they had run the second most plays in the NFL, which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Not per game, but up there per game, but second most plays. And finally, Jeff Wilson may play this week. We'll see. And didn't get a practice report yet on Friday for Eli Mitchell. Hopefully he can take some contact and keep making progress.
I'm going to guess he's going to be limited.
Yeah, we'll limited see. Is one thing if he takes contact, but I think he was not taking any contact on Thursday.
Yeah.
If they are hitting him with bad ribs, they are stupid.
I guess, but you got to get out. I mean, you can't just... maybe you can. Maybe you can be a non-contact and practice all week and still play. Different coaches...
He's played football before. He knows what it's like.
You know, some coaches will not play a guy if he hasn't practiced. Yeah, I don't know.
He is practicing, though.
Is he? Yes. Yeah, he's at practice. I honestly don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I don't go to these practices. I don't want to go. All right, this is Sunday. This is week 9, and the NFL on CBS features an AFC North matchup in Ohio when Joe Burrow and the Bengals battle the Browns, along with key interconference clashes between the Raiders and the Giants, and the Chargers heading to the City of Brotherly Love for a meeting with the Eagles. Get set for the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, and that is all coming up this Sunday on the NFL on CBS. We're going to start with the emails today. We'll do Apple Podcasts in a little bit. We got one Fantasy Cop submission that I'm going to read. Fantasy
Only
football.
One?
Well, we have a lot every week, but many of them are just the same, and it's just going to be us saying, no, don't veto that. That's fine. Basically, so I've just been sort of responding on my own. I guess I did get one that was saying somebody traded for Calvin Ridley, and then 30 minutes later, Ridley went on the leave. And again, I mean, we've done that before, and what I've said is that I'm sorry, you trade for someone. If he gets hurt after you trade for him, even if it's immediately, if he does or goes on a personal leave, whatever, that's just bad luck. But the trade stands, what I said. So kind of established that rule among
You're
the
heartless.
Fantasy cops. No, I'm all heart, but I can't let people off the hook completely. Okay, time for the emails. And Ryan says, I never understood rankings more than when each player is compared to a corresponding Stallone movie. Thank you, Jamie. I thought that was very confusing, but you know, I guess.
All right, we'll do it moving forward.
Okay. Is that what you did? You compared it to Stallone movies? Rocky III, you did it to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right, from Brian. Does Chase Edmonds' value go up if Kyler isn't mobile or possibly benched? I'm deciding between Edmonds and Judy, Tony, Kirk, or Emmanuel Sanders in half PPR.
I'd be very nervous about every Cardinals player if it's Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
So I'd play Sanders personally.
I'm trying to remember how the Cardinals running backs I think it would be better for him in the passing game for sure. If Kyler's not going to scramble as much, he's going to be more likely to dump it off to his running backs. And it's not going to be James Conner that gets it dumped off to him. So I think that can be. But the one thing, I think the impact would be greater on Conner because he is so reliant on touchdowns. And his touchdowns are so reliant on the threat of Kyler Murray running the ball that I think it's a much more likely to negatively impact James Conner.
I think you're right, but I also wonder if, you know, like what the Packers did where they just run the ball more, you know, so does he have opportunities and that's where they go. I mean, look, if you take Kyler and Hopkins off the field, are you really want Colt McCoy leaning on, you know, Christian Kirk and the AJ Green also, you know, I mean, Rondell Moore, you know, so you just wonder what they'll do. I think you probably should take a hands-off approach maybe on all of them.
It is worth noting when Kyler suffered his shoulder injury last year in Seattle and basically stopped running, Kenyon Drake did see a slight increase in carries, 15 per game, only averaged 3.3 yards per carry, but did have 6 touchdowns in 7 games. So
yeah,
Kyler's
rushing touchdowns definitely dropped off at that point. And McCoy, I was looking at this because I remember he started a couple of games for the Giants last year, and I remember thinking that he was very conservative. But when you look at the intended air yards per pass attempt, it was 8.4 or more every game. And that's pretty high, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But his completed air yards per pass attempt was 3.0, 3.5, 1.7, and 4.4. So I think that means he didn't have a lot of success downfield. That's my guess. So I could see it. I could see Edmonds getting some cheap catches in that regard. All right, this is from Sal. Pick a running back, a wide receiver, and a flex, half PPR. Running back, Moss, Gaskin, Eli Mitchell.
Gaskin.
Wide receiver.
I mean, man, if Mitchell does play, that's going to be really tough.
Yeah, I think if Mitchell plays and Wilson doesn't, yeah. I think I'd go Mitchell, but okay.
I mean, what if Mitchell takes a shot to his ribs because he hasn't practiced all week and he doesn't know how to get hit in the NFL? He'll leave the game.
I will say I have been wrong on Myles Gaskin.
Exactly.
Literally every single week this year. Like every time I've been high on him, he busts. Every time I've been low on him, he's only had 3 good games, but still.
And then pick a wide receiver, DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy.
Waddle.
I have Moore ranked higher, but the flex would be Waddle.
Okay. Jamie, who's your flex then? If you go Gaskin and Waddle, who's your flex? Moss, Mitchell, Moore, Judy.
What's the format again?
Half PPR. Half.
I would go Mitchell if he's the solo act. I would go Moore if there's Jeff Wilson playing.
I told Dave on the podcast that I will be getting into many fights with Chris on Sunday about DJ Moore. I know it.
I can't sit a guy with a 30% target share. Like, I just... It's just, I can't go away from that. Even I know Sam Darnold's hurt and he's Sam Darnold and PJ Walker is PJ Walker. But when you're getting that kind of workload on a team that, you know, it's not like they're the Titans with their running. I can't get away from it. It's like Brandon Cooks last week. When you've got that kind of opportunity, there's always a chance that you're going to break out.
I think though, I mean, obviously in a vacuum, I agree with you, but when you start comparing him to other players, like Jalen Waddle may get more of a target share this week.
Sure. Yeah, Waddle and Moore would be my two choices.
Right. There. But, and then again, if you get back to Elijah Mitchell's in a great spot, if there is no Jeff Wilson, then he's healthy because if the Cardinals don't have their guys, time of possession may be amazing for the 49ers. We know what their run game has been. And the Cardinals, we just saw their run defense without J.J. Watt look pretty miserable against the Packers. So, you know, it's again, you know, you're stacking him up against other guys. I hope Moore delivers. He may get a boost. J.C. Jackson may not play for the Patriots.
No, he's back. I was just looking that up. He's back. He had an illness, so he's back at practice.
So that's not great for DJ.
Yeah,
Moore.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
And if P.J. Walker is the quarterback, it could go either way. You know, it might be better for him, you know, where, you know, you get some, you know, guy breaking out of containment and throwing the ball to some, you know, scramble drills to the receivers, or it could be worse if he's worse than Sam Darnold. So DJ Moore is kind of all over the place.
Last question on DJ Moore. McCaffrey hurts or helps or nothing?
I think helps because, it, you know, there's more of a threat. You fear Christian McCaffrey. You don't fear Chuba Hubbard. You know, so the Patriots game plan is probably different if McCaffrey's on the field.
Well, speak
I think
yourself.
McCaffrey's just also going to really help Sam Darnold. I think that's a big thing that Darnold has missed is, you know, having that short area safety valve. I think, you know, one thing that's coincided with Darnold playing really poorly is, I mean, yes, it's Sam Darnold. That's his whole career. So, you know, since he entered the NFL, it's coincided with that. But for the Panthers specifically, it's been Terrace Marshall and Christian McCaffrey being out. Marshall is going to play. McCaffrey sounds like he has a good chance. And so I do think there's a chance Darnold does play a little better this week as well.
And Jamie, as someone who starts Chuba Hubbard in a couple of leagues, I do fear Chuba Hubbard quite a bit. So this is from Brian. Would you start Jerry Jeudy or Kadarius Toney half PPR?
Jeudy.
This is from Anthony. Hey, Mo, Larry, and Curly. I'm assuming James Robinson is out. Who should I start in his place in full PPR? Devontae Freeman or David Johnson?
I mean, I think for Devontae Freeman, the fact that we know that Latavius Murray's out and Michael Pierce is out for the Vikings, you know, so that's big. You know, I think this is a good opportunity for Freeman coming off a bye week. It's just, I don't know what to expect. But if you tell me which backfield do you at least know something, I feel a little bit better about Baltimore than I do about the Texans with Latavius not there.
Well, I think you can also look at it this way. They're both probably in four-way splits in terms of rushing share. David Johnson might actually be in a five-way split with Tyrod Taylor back. So Freeman's on a better offense, so you go with him.
Le'Veon Bell better not get carries. For
Houston? You throwing Scottie Phillips in there?
I mean, he played last week, you know?
Yeah.
Is Burkhead playing this week?
Yeah, I think he was removed from the injury report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, next question from Greg. Michael Thomas was supposed to be my ace in the hole for fantasy playoffs. I am 7-1. He's looking for a high upside flyer. Elijah Moore, Rashad Bateman, or Jeff Wilson? Or would you go with Madison or Dylan or Sony Michel? It's a PPR league. You know, it's, I don't know if it's 10 teams or not, but would you take a shot on more Elijah Moore, Rashad Bateman, Jeff Wilson, Madison, Dylan, Michelle? What do you think?
I mean, obviously you're going to win your league if you have Madison or Dylan, or if you want to say Sony Michelle as well, and the other guy gets hurt on that respective backfield. Those, you can't find those players. There's a reason why you're stashing those, you know, Tony Pollard as well. You know, the just the upside of what those guys can be, but it's implied value because, you know, the other players that we're talking about here, Jeff Wilson may not need an injury to be the best player in his situation. Elijah Moore may end up being the best receiver for the Jets. Rashad Bateman, I don't think he'll be the best, but can still be a significant contributor. So it just comes down to what you're looking for where you are now and where you are end of season. So, I mean, I would much prefer to roster those running backs with the hope of them being league winners. But if I need players right now, Jeff Wilson would be the one of the first trio that you mentioned.
Yeah, if you don't need a starter, I think Madison, Dylan, Michelle, Pollard, I think those are all great options. Can I throw out my beat the waiver wire pick for week?
Yeah.
Would it be for week 9 or week 10? I don't know how we would typically. Brandon Ayuk. He's still under 50% rostered. It didn't seem like anybody picked him up this week except for me. And led the 49ers in snaps, routes, targets last week. He didn't do a ton with it, only 45 yards on 7 targets, but we know how talented he is. And if they're going to use him as a full-time player, he's been more like a 65 to 70% snap and route share guy this season. If they're going to play him 95% of the snaps, I think he's going to break out at some point. And we know how high the upside is. We saw it last season. So throwing that out there as another guy, if you're looking for an upside stash, Brandon Ayuk.
All right, a few quick news items here, and we'll finish up with the emails. Sean McVay saying that Stafford and Robert Woods are going to practice on Friday, and they should be fine. James Robinson got in some work. He will be questionable. And finally, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is closer to a potential return from his sprained MCL. Let's finish up the emails here real quick, guys. Patrick from Long Island. I'm trading Chase Edmonds and Chuba Hubbard for Keenan Allen, full PPR. Give up Edmonds and Hubbard for Allen. Grade the trade.
Rocky one.
Yeah, I love Edmonds, but that's an A.
From Matthew, rest of season of PPR, Amari Cooper or Cortland Sutton?
Ooh.
Amari Cooper.
I think Cooper.
From Chris, I have David Montgomery, so I will give up Travis Kelce, Damian Harris. The Montgomery part is irrelevant. So give up Kelce, Damian Harris, and Jerry Jeudy. Get Najee Harris and Mike Gesicki. Oh, yeah. I like that.
I don't think I would. Wish you were getting I wish you were getting someone better than Gesicki.
Woo! You're getting Najee Harris.
Kelce, yeah, but, what was it again? Kelce and who?
Kelce, Damian Harris, and Jerry Jeudy.
What's the format?
I don't know.
Because that matters. Because if it's PPR, Harris is obviously not as good.
Damian Harris.
Half or non, he's much better. Yeah. I would take the Najee Harris Gesicki side. Because, you know, as great as Travis Kelce is, Gesicki has proven time and time again, whenever there's somebody missing for the pass catchers, he steps up. Do you know when Will Fuller's coming back? Because I sure don't. Do you know if Devontae Parker's going to miss significant time? Sounds like it. I think Gesicki's in a great spot, and who knows if Kelce's starting to fall off a cliff. I don't think so, but who knows?
All right, from Reed, half PPR, Tony, James Conner, Bateman, or Jordan Howard?
It's presumably to start this week.
Yeah.
If Kyler plays, it's Conner for me. If Kyler is out, it would be Tony.
I think it'd be Bateman for me if Kyler's out.
From David.
You don't know if Bateman's playing.
And if that's either. Assuming what Harbaugh
said. You
still
going to trust Bateman, though, if Watkins plays? Because that's the risk I think you run.
There is some risk there for sure. But then again, there's a lot of risk with Tony, especially if Galladay plays. We haven't seen him, you know, really play all that well with, I mean, we haven't seen him play much with the other wide receivers there.
Yeah, there's a one-game sample size. It was the New Orleans game when Galladay went for 100 and Tony went 6 for 78. I think he probably can do that again against the Raiders.
If he's healthy. From David, give Michael Pittman, get Mike Williams. This one was a few weeks ago, A+. Right now, I don't know. Give Pittman for Mike Williams, PPR.
Rocky 5.
Really? It's that bad?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a C. I think it's really, really close.
Oh, Jamie. Wow. I'm really surprised. Yeah, I'm with Chris. I think it's more of a Rocky 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled that it's on.
Again, Pittman sample size without T.Y. Hilton there, and who knows when Hilton's going to play, has been awesome.
Who's got more points this season, though? I bet it's still Williams.
I would imagine it's probably closer than you think because Williams has been bad three of the last four games.
I'm curious, actually.
I think Pittman's played two more games, so that would – Pittman is wide receiver 5 right now, but obviously not that good. Well, he's played 9 games.
So what is it? What'd you got per game? Who's better?
Pittman is 19 per game. Mike Williams is 15, so it's about a point difference.
Take that, Tommy Guns.
Jordan from the Sunshine – if that is a line in Rocky 5, then I'm just going to take your word for it because
– Does Chris know what Heath did? The other day?
I don't think so.
No.
How well do you know your Rocky movies?
1 through 4, moderately well.
Then you're
5.
Good. Okay. So 1 through 4. So we're talking about Stallone movies. And he says, didn't somebody significant die in all of the Rockies? And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, Mickey died in 3, Apollo died in 4. And he goes, yeah, didn't Apollo die in Rocky 1 and Adrian died in Rocky 2? What?
I mean, it's incredible. Right,
Adrian dies between 5 and 6, right?
Yeah. She's not in the you know, the Rocky 6. But he killed off Adrian. I mean, that is unbelievable. And who did he think Rocky fights in the second one? That's what the follow-up question should have been. All right. So anyway.
Can I drop a take that might make you guys mad?
Go.
I think Creed is better than any of the Rocky movies.
That's such a tower.
I love them. That movie's so good.
It's kind of boring. All right, from Jordan.
What?
Jordan in
Rocky's
Oregon.
Rocky's one of the most beloved movies of all time.
Which one? Creed?
Rocky.
Oh, yeah, Rocky's amazing. No, I mean, Creed is...
was boring.
No, Creed is a little boring.
It's the same
I think
movie.
If you rank them, like for me, I probably, cause I like all of them. I probably would go 1, 2, 4.
Creed 1. And 3.
Rocky 3. Creed 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, Creed would definitely be no lower than 3. By the way, I looked up what the what our friend from Oregon was referring to.
What
I'm
is
not
that?
Sure. Oh, wait, no, that's not it. Sorry.
All right, guys. Tommy, Chucky, Lil, Phil, and Dill. That I get. That's the Rugrats. Full PPR. Actually, he wrote fully PPR. That's kind of funny. Wide receiver, running back, and a flex. So Devontae Parker's not playing, so you're going to go with Mike Williams. Oh, well, this is easy. You gave us 4 options, and one of them is Devontae Parker, so it's the other guys. All right, with that said, nope, that was the wrong one. All right, so pretend that didn't happen, everybody.
So Sunshine Daydream is a documentary about the Grateful Dead.
Ah. Nope.
That took place in Oregon.
Oh, yeah, this is the Fantasy Cops music, right? All right, Fantasy Cops, here we go. This one is from Tyler from the Better Carolina.
South.
Well, yeah, it's going to say
using
south.
Using context clues, it's probably south.
Yeah, because North Carolina barbecue's dreadful. Dear Brian,
here we go again.
Alshon, Debo, and Shy, those are South Carolina wide
Which
receivers.
Which one's Brian?
I actually don't know.
Okay. Which was who?
Brian. Wait,
Brian Edwards. He was a South Carolina guy, right?
I didn't know that. Sure. I'm the commissioner in my family league. I just made a trade that has sent the other players in the league in a frenzy. I am tied with the worst record in the league. Remember, this is his family league. And I've lost several players due to COVID and injury. With my starting running back, Saquon, possibly being out due to COVID, he's out, Gibson being on a bye, and already losing Hunt and Montgomery to injury, I made a trade with my mom for Kamara. I traded Saquon, Robert Woods, and Damian Harris to my mother. She gave me Alvin Kamara and Terry McLaurin. This made other members go crazy, saying that it wasn't a fair trade and insinuating that I sent a lopsided trade to my mom on purpose, as I know much more about football than she does. I believe that I treat this league as fairly as anyone else, as two of the players who were upset the most by it messed up a trade earlier in the year by blah, 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 blah. Do you think this is family collusion here, or was this a fair offer giving Barkley, Woods, and Damian Harris for Kamara and McLaurin?
Those aren't the two poles. You know, it's not collusion or a fair offer. It can be an unfair offer and not be collusion.
Uh-huh.
I think you probably took advantage of your mom, which is, you know, generally speaking, a pretty messed up thing to do. Mothers are, you know, you're supposed to have a special relationship with your mother, and, you know, using that relationship to win in fantasy football is probably not the best thing in the world.
So he ended up getting Kamara and McLaurin?
Yeah.
All right, so let's play this out. So let's go Taysom Hill starting for the Saints from week 10 on, and Kamara's back from week 10 on. Which side is better?
The Kamara side is better, I'd say.
By not by much, though?
No, keep in mind, Barkley has a bye in week 10.
Okay, so week 11 on.
Well, that's 2 weeks. It's a pretty big deal.
Well, look, Kamara's bye is still coming up too, right?
No. Didn't they have their bye?
They haven't had a bye.
They had their bye.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Yeah.
I guess factor in the bye weeks because McLaurin's
it's an unfair trade. Bye.
But still, I just think for rest of season value, factoring in the games that they're going to play, Kamara may be bad with Taysom Hill. Not to the extent that he's not startable, but he may not be as great as he is right now.
All right, so we're saying that the trade should stand. It is a pretty uneven trade.
I don't think it's that uneven.
But the bye week thing, I mean, that's a big deal. McLaurin and Kamara have had their byes, and Barkley, Woods, and Harris haven't. How many regular season weeks do we have left?
I guess 6.
6. Man, it's getting close, huh? This, by the way, is the Bon Jovi week. You know why?
Why?
We're halfway there. Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for this week's edition of the Fantasy Cops. Proper music. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, read your Apple Podcast questions. Thanks for sending those in. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From Apple Podcasts, here we go. This I don't have a name. I have Jalen Hurts. Should I start him this week or grab Ryan Tannehill?
I have Hurts ahead of Tannehill.
Hurts.
Okay. From J-Mac. PPR league. I have Kelsey, Dawson Knox, and Logan Thomas. I am 4-4, and he could use another running back. I would say he could use an upgrade everywhere. Should I trade Kelsey for a more solid running back or wide receiver, given that he has Knox and Logan Thomas? What is Kelsey's value, or should I leave it be?
I mean, the problem that you have is that you don't have a tight end this week if you trade Kelsey.
Yeah,
Knox isn't playing, and Thomas is still on IR. So, you know, if you're talking about you could trade Kelsey and pick up, you know, Freiermuth or Dan Arnold or somebody just to get you by for 1 week.
Alberto.
Or Alberto, if he plays. You know, that's another, you know, good that can help you. But we already talked about a potential Kelsey for Najee Harris trade, which was the two key pieces in that deal. So if you're getting that type of a running back in return, then yes. Like if I'm trying to trade Kelsey, you got to get
first round pick.
Even though he hasn't been the same guy, you still got to get top 10 caliber player in return.
I feel like if you're making this trade because you're thin at other positions, then you should try to get two players. I know you don't usually want to be on the 1-for-2 side if you're giving up the best player, but if you give up Kelsey for give me 2 second to third round types of players here.
I mean,
Daryl Henderson and
I don't think
Robert
you're getting
Woods?
Much with there.
I was going to say something like a Chubb and Miles Gaskin type of deal.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Because you're kind of thin. So just giving up Kelsey for an equal running back or wide receiver, I'm not sure that does much for you.
Yeah, because I don't think Dawson Knox or Logan Thomas is an upgrade on. Like, you probably expect something similar from Hunter Renfrow as you do from those two guys the rest of the season. Probably 11 to 12 fantasy points per game.
This is from JD White. All right, we got a couple of emails here, a couple of Apple Podcast questions that, or answers or whatever, comments, sorry. People are pissed off. So here we go. JD Wikes. I am so sick of hearing about Dave and Keith tanking. I'm so sick of it. We'd boot a manager out of our league for that garbage, and we have to listen to them discuss tanking strategy and laugh about it back and forth. It's a disgrace, and it makes me mad every time. Wait. Okay, we got one more. Sorry. One more. From Troy DVS. Subject is disgraceful. The fact that you have an analyst on the podcast that tanks a season goes against everything good about fantasy football. I don't care that it's dynasty. It's just wrong. I'm done with this trash.
So two things. One, when I talked about this on Twitter, I had a bunch of people like, well, is it against the rules? And it's like, there is an is versus ought distinction that you are trying to draw. It is legal to do it. the discussion is not whether it is legal. It's whether it ought to be legal. And personally, I think you should at least have to set a lineup in good faith. Just spilled my water. You don't have to. This is what happens when I gesticulate. You don't have to make every move with the intention of winning this season. But intent, like sitting Patrick Mahomes, it's garbage.
For Davis Mills.
It's garbage.
And then Mills outscoring him, which is hilarious.
Right. Yeah. And like, look, I benefit from it because I play Heath twice in the regular season in the league. I think I'm the only person in the league that gets to play him twice. So like, hey, cool. Good for me. But it sucks. And the problem with tanking from a philosophical perspective, if you take a utilitarian viewpoint of it, it's the kind of thing where it only works because other people are trying to win. But if everybody was tanking, one, the league would stop working. And two, nobody would actually benefit from it. So it's a strategy that inherently takes advantage of the fact that everyone else is trying. And that's I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's unethical.
Heath is kind of regretting it now, too.
Well, I'll tell you,
he doesn't want to be the commissioner anymore.
You know, there's going to, you know, karma's going to come back to haunt him, you know, at some point, whether it's he's going to end up drafting somebody that gets hurt because he tanked and that player is all in. He's not going to win for several years. Like, there's ways to tank without doing it the way he's doing it, you know. Like you said, he's regretting it, you know, with some of the decisions that are making. The one that doesn't make any sense to me is I have no idea why Dave is tanking. Dave has still a very good roster. Dave can easily compete now. He made a trade knowing that his team is sub 500 with Chris to get a first round pick for Tom Brady, which is an excellent trade for both of you guys. And he can still compete because he has Joe Burrow. Like, there is no reason why Dave is tanking, because it's a 14 team league, but seven teams make the playoffs. He could still get in, and who knows what happens. He's going to get Montgomery back. You know, he's moving up a couple spots, maybe in draft pick value. It just makes, and he tells him this all the time, makes absolutely no sense why Dave is tanking. I don't understand it at all.
All right, let's go to Grudge Max. Should I look to sell Pat Mahomes as part of a package to upgrade my RB2? Something like Mahomes, Hockenson, and Eli Mitchell for Joe Mixon. I have Burrow and Logan Thomas on my bench.
Yeah, way too much.
That would be a bad trade. This is similar to the Travis Kelce discussion we were having, and I didn't bring it up then, but it's worth bringing up now. You're selling these guys at the absolute bottom of their value. And in Mahomes' case, I saw somebody yesterday kind of criticizing the people who said you shouldn't rank Mahomes lower than number one at QB because he's number four or five, depending on your scoring format. He's had basically a worst case scenario for him. I think most people would agree that this is by far the worst stretch of Patrick Mahomes' career, and he's QB 4 or 5. I think that's actually kind of vindication for who Mahomes is. And so, like, he's not going to have a worse two-game stretch, I would guess, in his career, if not at least in the next 5 years. That's worse than what he's done the last 2 weeks. And so I think trying to trade him right now is just a mistake.
Yeah, the problem is, if this were week 4, you could say, oh, you're trading him at his low point. But it's week 9. You know, if you really need... That's a lot to give up for Mixon, but... If you have Joe Burrow, then doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the name, the value. Whatever. It's not a bad idea to trade Mahomes to get a running back. So I think, you know,
but it's probably a better idea to trade Burrow.
Yeah.
But if you're just saying right now you're trading Patrick Mahomes to get Joe Mixon, I like that trade. I have no problem with that trade. It's the fact that you're giving up Mahomes, Hockenson, and whoever else
Mitchell.
The third player was.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's too much.
Like that's just ridiculous. Like. There's no way you should be doing that. Now, we know it's hard to trade running backs. It's difficult for people to trade quarterbacks. It's hard to get running backs. Hard to trade quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So that factors into it. But I'm not giving that many additional players to get Joe Mixon.
All right, next one from C. Teason 6. Patrick Mahomes for Justin Herbert. Grade the trade.
F.
Yeah, if you're giving up Mahomes, it's an F.
Okay, from Mike CH23.
Now, is that dynasty or is that redraft?
Didn't say, so I'm guessing.
I think even in dynasty, I'd rather.
I would agree, but dynasty makes a little bit more sense. If you know, redraft, no sense at all.
Pick. Oh crap! It's 3:00. I'm supposed to be on the air right now. It's with Jacob Gibbs, so I'm going to send him a text message and let him know that I'll be there in a bit. Jacoby Myers, Eli Mitchell, Miles Gaskin, pick one.
Miles Gaskin.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Grade the trade from a big city in a state known for lakes and beer.
Illinois? Michigan?
I'm thinking Michigan.
Minnesota?
Yeah, sure.
They're known for California. They're known for lakes.
Okay.
Los Angeles especially.
Yeah. Gray the trade. I lost Derrick Henry. And I traded Marquise Brown for Chase Edmonds. And I traded Mike Williams for Damian Harris. Marquise Brown
he still has Diggs, Jefferson, and Chase on his roster, so he can afford to lose multiple wide receivers. I think you settled in both cases.
The first one is an F. The second one is a C.
Okay. All right. This next one is from... Well, that one was from Dr. Nate, sorry. This one is... Boy, am I messed up here. Jay Lazary. No, I don't think... I don't know who this is from. I'm sorry. I'm just going to read these. I don't know who they're from. I need 2 of 4 this week. Debo, Cortland Sutton, Thielen, Deontay Johnson. Pick 2.
Debo and Deontay if they play.
Thielen and Deontay. Actually, no. Debo and Deontay.
Okay. Dear Simeon, Guerrero, Bichette, and Biggio. We know them. I'm tied for first in my 12-team leagues. One of the guys I'm tied with just lost Derrick Henry. My running backs were Eckler, Henderson, Booker, and Mitchell, blah, 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 blah. I traded Mitchell to the guy who lost Derrick Henry for Adam Thielen. And I also threw in Jarvis Landry because he was going to drop him for Boston Scott. Who won the trade? Give up Eli Mitchell for Adam Thielen.
You did.
He lost the trade?
No, he won.
He won the trade.
Yeah.
Why did I say lost?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Mitchell than Thielen, but I've been lower on Thielen.
What was I doing? I go, who won the trade? Jamie goes, you did. I go, oh, he lost the trade? Like, why did I say that?
That's Mitchell could be headed for a timeshare. It's a little
bit.
All right, 2 more here, or 1 more, I think.
Although I do think Landry's more than just a throw-in.
Yeah, I agree.
Beckham. Yeah, I think he could be a top 20 wide receiver rest of season.
Start Tony Pollard, D'Ernest Johnson, or Boston Scott, or Bolden. 2 of them. Pollard, D'Ernest, Scott, Bolden.
Pollard and Scott.
Yep.
And he also says choose...
Or Scott Pollard, one of the best basketball players of all time.
I remember him. Choose a DST to stash. And that's all he wrote.
Whoever is available and has the best matchup next week.
They're all rostered. Every good matchup is rostered next week. It's very frustrating.
Good matchup for next week.
I think the Saints have a decent matchup.
They're probably rostered. They.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely rostered.
No, they've got the Titans next week.
I think that's a decent matchup. Yeah. We'll find out, I guess.
Maybe. Ravens are probably rostered. Colts are definitely rostered after last week. Yep. Bills are rostered. Steelers are rostered.
I told you, just beat the waiver wire was the worst one we've
maybe
ever had.
Maybe the Bucks.
Oh, the Bucks.
The Bucks have Washington.
That's a good.
Week.
That's they said that, actually. That's a good
one. The one, probably.
I mean, they're definitely rostered, but they might be dropped this week. Okay, let's guess the Buccaneers DST roster percentage before we go. I'm going to guess it is 73%.
64.
81.
85. Jamie is the closest without going over. Jamie is right. Thank you for watching and listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.